Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Hey, that's me. Thank you, Dude Walker. And as you can probably already tell, since there's a little reverb on my voice, today we're doing Batmas, best of the Mike O'Mara Show, as we take the day to observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I have for you a great stack of segments today. As a matter of fact, I was going to try to edit them down so that the show was the proper length, but why mess with a good thing? This is going to be a bonus-sized Batmas and a surprise around every corner. But let us start as we talk about Mr. Ricky Skaggs. Ricky Skaggs is one of the greatest bluegrass players of all time, and we go off on a bluegrass jag. And remember, the takeaway from this one is, and Oscar's here too. Also, we discuss food, always. Adrian and Pony each bring in something for Oscar to taste test. We are all over the place. And whether it's Nutella, or is it Nutella, or mochi, we got a lot to discuss on this, so let's get her done. It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Would you really go to that concert, Rob? Would you go see...
In a New York second. One of my favorite songs of all times is, and I play it once a month on this show, is Country Boy. I love that.
I'm just a country boy at heart.
Oh, I love him.
One of the last, country guys to bring bluegrass into the country scheme. And I love that. I think that's great.
He was a mandolin player, Oscar. A mandolin picker. Yes, why are you raising your hand?
Ricky Skaggs, A Lifetime of Music, is coming to your town all of 2017.
He's touring.
Yes.
Oh,
his
really?
Dates in Florida are March 18th. Pinnell's Park.
Where?
March 25th.
Pinellas Park.
Whatever.
That would be Miami?
Don't use your DJ voice. It makes it even worse.
Weirdale, Florida. March 26th.
Weirdale?
Ponte Verde Beach, Florida.
Oh, that he can say.
Yes. That's all I've got because everything else is far away.
I want to sit in the second row.
Black Eyed Susie went to town. All she wore was a gingham gown. Hey, Black Eyed Susie.
The closest.
Who? Black Eyed Susie. Hey, Black Eyed Susie. Who? Black Eyed Susie.
To the D.C. area is March 4, 2017, Wilmington, Delaware.
Ooh, okay. Wilmington is be a good pocket for him.
lots of slot machines and oxygen tanks.
Yeah, well. It ain't exactly Firefly, is it?
This is my philosophy now. I believe that anyone over the age of 50,
yes.
I wish to see if they are touring because of 2016. I want to make sure that I see artists.
You're living in the now.
When I can do that. I want to live in the now.
Smart
That's
move.
What I want to do. And so Pinellas Park, Florida, he's coming
yes,
to
sir.
Florida?
Yes, sir. Florida.
All right. And
March 18th.
That's it?
March 26th. March 18th. And March 26th.
Okay. Pinellas Park. I don't know where that... Oh, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? Bay Country 103, The Mike O'Mara Show. How you doing, everybody? This is Country Boy, Ricky Skaggs. Hope you enjoyed it. Bay Country 103. Bay Country 103.
I may look like
Start it again. Start it again.
Hey, that country station was the Bloody Valentine, right? Where you had to
you
fire all the people.
Valentine's Day Massacre?
Yeah, that's what
kind
I meant.
Kind of the combination between the AM and the...
Hey, Mike, do you remember when all the gangsters in Chicago had Bloody Valentine?
Yeah, more like the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. I think I canned four guys on one day. It was not my best day at all. Bay Country 103, the Mike O'Mara get together for Thursday afternoon. Getting you through your day with Ricky Skaggs on Bay Country 103.
How do you remember that?
Well, that, I had to hear it twice. You'll notice that I had to hear that
still.
Twice. And, yeah.
It's an art form.
This was a great video. It had Mayor Ed Koch in it.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
The mayor of New York?
Yeah. He was the current mayor. It had the plot of the video. I don't know why I remember it so well. He was hanging with bluegrass legend Bill Monroe in New York City, and Ricky Skaggs took Bill Monroe through New York, and at one point, Mayor Ed Koch lip-synced to this.
It's bluegrass in the big city.
That's right.
You know, it really
Big Apple,
truly...
what you should have said.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Rob, we're having a little, Rob and I are having a little musical.
Oh, we're riffing here.
Sure.
Oscar's part of it, too.
But I just...
Not really. So trying to include himself.
For those of you... for those of you who are not in the know,
I will tell Ricky's gags
I want to play something for God. I don't have any ability to negotiate my own iTunes. I truly don't. I have no ability to do that.
More like their tunes.
Yeah. Am I right, ladies?
There's a slight pause. You're like, wait, I was supposed to say that. I'm gonna finish it.
And Oscar's here too.
Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. Hold
on just a second. Woo! What a day.
Do you have any appreciation of bluegrass music?
Yeah, of course.
One of the things that's great about it is that they have never used any sort of distortion. It's always been about a clean capture. So some of the greatest recordings of all time feature those instruments. Like a banjo, even though a stringed instrument, almost.
All right, boys.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Now, you want to hear some picking right here? Listen.
This
not
is
too
awesome.
Loud, is it?
No, it's great.
All right, this is a guy playing a mandolin. Listen how fast he plays. I mean, they're all playing at this speed, and that's why I want to see him in concert. Listen, these guys are the best at what they do in the United States.
Black Eyed Susie came to town, all she wore was a gingham gown.
Hey.
Black Eyed Susie. Oh. Black Eyed Susie.
There it is.
That's right. And Oscar's here, too.
Special Thank day you. When Mike, Rob, and Oscar can riff about Ricky Skaggs.
I know. You know, you never know what this show's going to bring you. But you know what? I thought it'd be a nice chance for a little musical interlude.
My first favorite album was a bluegrass album when I was wee and small, little kid.
Really?
Yeah, the Dillards, who played the Darlins on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh,
But, I mean, that's how you become, you get exposed to music through different ways.
Absolutely.
And the Dillards actually had a sort of a decent run. They opened for Elton John on a tour. Which
that's
is
weird.
That is a weird combo, isn't it?
That's weird, isn't it?
What?
Isn't
that weird? Whoa.
Mike, you remember that time where Rob put a speed bump on the show with the Dillards?
Remember the time that Oscar kept trying to include himself in our bluegrass talk?
Oscar, are you wearing some sort of workout accoutrement today? You look like you just
I'm
came
glad
out
you
of the
noticed,
gym.
Mike. I haven't
you,
worked
you, you
out
look
yet.
Odd today. You
but
look
I'm
odd.
Ready to work out. It's 2017. Really? It's a new me in 2017. And
right.
A new Rob, because Rob and I...
had a date.
We had a date.
What?
Oh, my
yes.
God. You actually got into the gym with Rob Spiewak?
I did. We didn't work out. But we got in there.
We joined.
Really?
We joined. Yes. Look, I have a key tag. Hold on. Look.
We docked.
This is beautiful.
Oh, look at this.
This makes me happier than this is a happy Friday already.
Boom.
I said
membership, baby. It has its privileges.
Last year,
gym?
All we did was make fun of how fat Rob is.
Well,
yes,
no, there
we
was
did.
Other things yes. too.
And
we had a live show at the Improv where you made fun of me.
We made fun of my fat as well.
Yes,
so, I mean,
yes.
You were not
but
alone.
You're a lost cause. Rob's here.
Thanks. Thank you. You're damn right I'm a lost cause.
I
you
said,
know what? As a matter of fact, I am a lost cause, and you can talk to the reason I am. If you got, ladies and gentlemen, say hi to a new character.
Oh,
Mr.
no,
Kane.
He's back.
Mr.
Oh,
Kane.
No.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Hey.
That's the sad. Kane's back.
The Kane
no.
is back.
Yes, what happened?
Right. Wow. I am walking into dinner last night, and I am saying to this is
you
happened
didn't
to me
have
now.
A terrible fall, did you?
No, this has happened to me now twice. This
what?
Has happened to me. This is... the absolute definition of DGH. This is the definition of don't get happy.
Did you GH last along. Night?
I walked, I'm walking along and I'm going, look at this. Look at this. I am, I said, I am actually pain free. And I got about 150 yards down as I'm taking this walk. And I sat there and all of a sudden I feel it. And it goes. And it moves. It moves to where the bone on bone comes in. And then last night it was horrible. It's much
Man.
Better today. It just sucks.
I have a tape of your hip from last night, Mike.
Oh, do you really? Let's
woo,
listen.
Woo.
There it is.
Whoa.
There's my head.
Boom. Moving up the leg.
Is it moving all around?
I want to spend a segment talking about you and Rob getting into the gym. But
holding
I
hands.
At the opening of the show. The opening of the show today, we have a show and tell. I believe
yes.
that Pony Boy, Mr. Matt Bloom, has brought in a foodstuff.
A treat from the Far East, Mike.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
And
something
also,
mysterious.
Because Oscar had never tried it, Adrian brought in a treat. Adrian, employee of the year at his hotel.
Yeah.
Hey. Employee of the year?
Yes.
Is that true?
True. Yeah, true. Got a plaque and everything.
And he won a crock pot in a raffle.
I'm more excited about the crock pot, to be honest.
Ooh, crock pot's a great item, Adrian.
It is.
You can set it. You know what you can do? You can actually put meat in that when you leave for the day. And then when you return in the evening, you'll have a nice, soft-cooked meal.
that you can eat.
You can eat.
That's what I've been hearing on the comments.
But
a lot of shtick on the comments,
but,
too.
What Adrian brought, because Oscar's never tried it before, a gift from the
near... This is the dumbest show. This is the dumbest. How many directions are we going to go in the opening?
Well, I'm trying to get Pony to bring in his effing food.
Here.
It's a taste test. So Adrian brought Nutella. And Pony brought some sort of weird gooey biscuit.
Oh, man. All right, now, okay. All right, so that's back on track. We are back on track now. The Nutella that I discussed as one of my cheats of the week. Oscar, you have never experienced the magic of Nutella?
I don't recall Nutella. My parents never bought Nutella. I used to think Nutella was a fake peanut butter as a kid.
All right, it's not... I'll be honest, even Oscar Santana, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't like it.
I would be willing to guarantee he is all in.
It is the year of the rooster, or as we say here in America, the year of the cock.
Yes.
As far as flavor profiles, you guys may know better or best.
Or as good.
Do I eat the dumpling that's supposed to give me good luck in the new year from the Far East first?
No, you eat the Nutella first.
Okay.
Because this
Rob,
is my...
do you pronounce it Nutella or Nutella?
Nutella. Nutella.
We are the knights that say...
This is actually, Mike, for your convenience, Nutella and go.
How do you pronounce it again?
Nutella.
Nutellan? Nellen Flogelstein?
If you like the taste of hazelnuts and chocolate, you are going to love Nutellenstein.
Let me just say that don't start yet. Don't start. I want a real
reaction.
I'm not
going to ruin anything.
It's served with breadsticks for dipping.
That's the new thing they put it in. And I will say this, that I don't think the hazelnut is even a factor. I think it's just the chocolatey goodness.
I agree.
Would you just eat the chocolate without any dippings?
You could put your finger in there and eat just the chocolate, but I think if you really want to get it, I would take a healthy, and I mean healthy, gob of the Nutella on the stick, and let's get Uria and Rob, I'm asking Oscar to test.
Yeah, I'm watching
it. Not you, all right? So
More.
No, I can't get more. I'll get messy.
Yes, you can.
You know what it tastes like?
What? What's
that? Melted down Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, it smells like that.
You know what? I'll accept that. What do you think?
I'd say he successfully dumbed it down to his tasting level.
What is your...
like the powder at the bottom of a cereal box of Cocoa Puffs.
But a smooth, creamy texture.
Yes.
Of course, what do you think of the flavor? How do you like it?
Mike, I'm not a little kid.
Oh,
give
in
it
the
to
trash.
Me, Oscar.
In the trash.
That's him being an a-hole. That's all that
right
is.
In the garbage.
You know what? He
not
likes
worth
it.
The calories. Oh, not worth the calories.
Let me tell you what I think about Oscar Santana. Yes, we can agree that he is a contrarian.
Yes.
He loves to go the opposite. That's what he digs doing. But I will tell you that if he really loved it, he would still have it out there because it's that time of the morning where he would want to eat
it. I don't know.
Yeah, I usually binge.
There might be a Jim Elliott move at about 79 minutes.
Monitor him for that. If he goes into that trash can to retrieve that Nutella, he's
are
already
we off the air yet?
He's already looking at it.
Watch this.
Look, he's pouring his tea over his coffee.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's ruined.
I stole it from the hotel, so I don't care.
Yeah. That way to go, Employee of the Year.
Employee of the Year. Yeah. All right, now Pony has also brought in a taste treat for show
and
tell.
Can you show the package
to
Mike?
Package.
It's really great. It's certainly not Hostess.
It's not show and tell, it's show and share.
It's show and eat.
Look how foreign this packaging is.
Rice cake azuki daifuku mochi with red bean paste filling.
Mmm.
Oh my God.
So just Pony, like grandma used to make.
Pony's got this obsession with the Far East.
Yeah.
And because he thinks he's Asian, he bought these Chinese New Year dumplings because the New Year has to start off right.
These are good luck gooey biscuits, right?
Well, these are a Japanese treat that is traditionally enjoyed.
Just because
on
you're
New
talking
Year's.
About Asian food doesn't mean you can't use articles. These are a Japanese treat.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Let me just ask him a question.
Oh.
Pony.
Yes, sir.
So we all know you like anime. You like the cartoons that, and you're kind of upset. Are you, does this like dovetail off into other areas of enthusiasm in the Asian culture? I mean, are you
Absolutely.
Really into, okay. So will you be celebrating the year of the cock?
Oh, every day.
No, come on.
No, seriously.
I don't need
are you doing like a ceremony? Like,
no,
what's the story?
No.
Fireworks?
No.
Will you wash your hair?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're okay with all that? You just like to eat their food?
Exactly.
Not just their food.
And
have you sampled the confection that you brought in for others to try?
Of course.
And can you give us a review and your impression of it?
So this is mochi, which is a rice cake.
Mochi? It's like
it's almost like a gummy bear, but made out of rice and a little bit stickier than a gummy bear consistency.
And bigger.
Bigger, much bigger.
It's the
bigger.
Size of a biscuit.
Wait a minute. When you said gummy bear, what you showed me looked like the packaging for something we used to call a honey bun.
Show him one. Show
Mike,
him a singular.
You're
one.
A little something I used to call a honey bun.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that.
A lot of glaze. I used to love honey buns.
All right, let me take a peek. Let's see what we have here.
Probably still do.
Okay. So it looks like a little round donut.
That hasn't been baked yet. Hasn't been baked yet.
Oh, it has to be baked?
Doesn't it look like it hasn't been, though?
Yeah, it looks like it hasn't been. Is that edible right now? Is that ready to eat?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but he gave me one before the show, and my comment was, Pony, this tastes like it hasn't been cooked yet.
Oh, so you ate it before the show? That's such a traitor move.
He can't stop himself.
Well, no,
that is such a traitor move.
You don't need my reaction. You need this guy's reaction.
I would love to.
Because he'll do anything for food.
You're the foodie guy. I love it. Rob, since you already ate one, can you give me... Rob, you're better at description anyway. Can you give me a description of what it was?
Yeah, it is...
No, don't throw it away. Did you throw it away?
No.
All right, don't throw it away.
You look at it, and it looks like it would be almost like a small cookie from a bakery. But when you pick it up, it feels doughy. And gummy bear, it's not as set as a gummy bear. It's gooier than a gummy bear. It feels like a dough. And then you bite into it, and then it's...
So you got a little detergent when you touched it.
Well, no. I was if nothing else, I felt it was rather off-putting.
Oh,
because
it
is very foreign.
The kids wouldn't like it.
It is extraordinarily foreign.
And then the taste?
The taste, the bean curd was really a non-factor inside.
Bean
the
jam.
Bean jam, yes. Pump up the bean jam.
Right.
But the actual thing itself, it was not overly sweet. It was just a weird, gooey thing. It tastes to me overly undone.
Pony, why do you like it?
Well, they're actually pretty good. This is
nice counter argument.
The best mochi I've ever had. But
what makes good mochi?
It's got to be a little bit stickier. You can see it's just kind of breaking up. Like it's supposed to kind of pull.
Gooey.
Like taffy?
And be nice and gooey. Yeah. Except not as chewy as taffy.
Mochi.
Not as hard as taffy.
Is the pleasure
saltwater mochi
like fruit flavor? Is it what is the flavor?
The flavor is actually sort of a starchy, ricey flavor. Like almost, you know what?
Sandy's mochis.
Like an undersweetened rice pudding. You know how rice can sort of take on a sweet flavor?
I don't think rice pudding is sweet enough.
Boardwalk mochi.
A lot of times I rely on the raisins
all right,
for the sweetness.
Enough of this Oscar dive-in. Let's see.
All right.
This is going to be great.
Can I get a timpani, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Always standing by. Here we go. Thank you.
Smells foreign.
Has it got powdered sugar on it?
No, it's like a
cornstarch, I think.
Huh? Gross.
Ni hao.
What does that mean?
I love
it. He likes it.
I like it a lot.
You really love it? Or are you just doing opposites attract?
No, I love it, man. It's great.
Let me get this straight. You threw the delectable nectar known as Nutella into the trash, but you're enjoying the Japanese ass cake. Like, it's the greatest thing.
JAC, Mike.
Right. Well, A, it reminds me of my childhood.
Why?
They have these in Bolivia?
My mom would cook something similar, but they would be undercooked. And that's when I loved them.
What would she cook that was like that?
There are similar treats where you would put okamolon pastel, which is a dessert, right?
Spanish.
His Spanish is always so.
It's cute.
There's the other treat known as un patatero.
There is a small city in the nation of Spain. It is called Barcelona.
I went to Chile twice. Maybe you've been there.
This is a lovely pasta el clelo, which is basically called the toenail of the coffee god. That we love suckling on.
Quick update. Weird aftertaste.
Yes, I'll give it
weird,
that.
Like a little bit.
That's the bean jam. That's the bean jam.
How would I really hesitate to ask because aftertaste is a dangerous thing to talk about. What would you compare the aftertaste to?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was going so well.
As a kid, I'm sure we've all done this. Have you ever...
Rob and I, by the way, are on the exact same page right now.
Have you ever licked a battery?
Oh, no. Never had the pleasure.
The alkaline taste?
Sure, sure. Really?
Yeah, that's what I taste in my mouth right now.
Mike, I could tell you what the aftertaste is like.
Okay, I know
I don't want to reveal her name.
All right, stop it. Oh, my God.
Can I get a water stat? Hey, let me get that soda you got there.
Are we done with show and share?
I believe so.
Yeah, no dumplings, right. No dumplings, no dumplings.
All right, so if you're keeping track at home, folks, you got Pickin' and Grinnin' with Ricky Skaggs. You got Emoji from Ponyboy Matt Bloom, and you got Nutella that ended up in the trash, which is an American tragedy!
And welcome back to the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Remember, we are taking today to honor Martin Luther King Jr. We will be back tomorrow. And in the meantime, we're giving you the best of. Now, this is one of my favorite interviews ever because he is an absolute A-lister and he loves to give us crap. Mostly Mike. James Patterson, probably the most successful author since Moses, stops by to discuss at least two of his books. He turns them out at a regular basis. But what's funny is due to a mix-up with the publisher, as it stated, not my fault, Mike did not get a chance to read one of the books that we are discussing. And Mr. Patterson will not let it go. He is a charming, funny, funny man. And I think you will enjoy our discussion with author James Patterson right here on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm such a fan, this gentleman, James Patterson. And I know he's got a brand new book out called The Noise, but he's also got this out I am going to fan geek out like you. I mean, it is so much fun. I love it. I love it. There he is right there. James Patterson, roughly 6% of all hardcover novels like this are sold by this gentleman that we have the honor of talking to today. Mr. Patterson, it is such a thrill.
And we have enough bad news without throwing that out there. We got floods, we got pandemics, we got so many things. At any rate,
are you in Florida now, sir?
No, I'm in New York.
Oh, you're lucky.
Behind
you're
me, lucky. Not New York City, thank goodness. Behind me is the Hudson, which where I am right now is about 2 miles wide.
Wow. 2 miles wide.
Wow.
And it's great. Beautiful. I can see up to God knows what, Albany. No, not Albany.
Well,
but
I have to ask you, has the Hudson, gone over the banks?
I don't know. I mean, we're up 30 or 40 feet. So it just, it's not happening. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it could happen. So we're pretty comfortable.
Philadelphia today, and I know
well, New
I played
York
golf
yesterday too. Yes, yeah,
mm-hmm. Incredible
disaster. Yeah,
it's nuts. I mean, it's just crazy. Places that don't usually get that are getting it now. With the usually see the middle part of the country that gets that kind of weather, but we've got it now. And down here in Florida, we're getting the tail. Believe it or not, this is how big these systems are.
Oh,
we're getting the little tail whipping through from Ida that just maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. There was an alert for weather coming through here. It's
right.
It's crazy, and the world right now. You spend time in Florida. It's just I've been having.
Now we're going to get down the end of the month. My wife is dragging me, not dragging me, a little dragging me to the Wisconsin Notre Dame game out on Soldier Field.
Oh, Wisconsin, the Badgers.
Yes, she's a Badger. She's a Badger.
She's a Badger. Badgers are passionate.
4-time All-American.
Oh, really?
My wife. Wow. Yeah. Football player. No, she's a swimmer.
Do you get a chance to play?
Wouldn't that be a horrifying thing? No, I mean, whatever. I know I get in trouble for anything you say now, but your wife was a football player? You know, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I will tell you about. I'll tell you a Badger story because we had a guy years and years ago on my radio show with Don. We had Rudy Martsky, who wrote the TV sports column for USA Today.
Tough game.
And Rudy was responsible. Rudy knew everybody. And so we had we had every TV sports guest from Jim Nantz to Al Michaels to everybody through Rudy Martsky. And when I went to Rudy's home for a party, it was the first time I had ever seen, professional or college, an official Wisconsin Badgers bathroom that he had down in his rec room.
Where you want to see Badger- another one? Want to see a Badger living room?
We don't, American University where I went, we didn't, you know, there I don't think they even sell that, you know.
Well, that's safer. Originally, she had a banner behind me in this room. And I made her take it down. And I'm not going to put up a Vanderbilt banner, you know. I mean,
oh, that's right. You're a Vanderbilt guy, right?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Vanderbilt and Manhattan College.
A little more understated
Manhattan
at a
college
school
in the
like
Bronx.
That.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you do that? Manhattan College in the Bronx. Okay, whatever.
That was. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that was
cool. It's great. You know, the hell.
That's good. I mean, I tell everybody that wants to go into any kind of media that it's good to have that that city experience. You know,
sure.
I mean, if you're going to a Colgate, which is in the middle of nowhere, but then when you want to get you know, your feet wet in whatever you want to do, it's great to go to a big city. I think to do, you know, get some education. You know, I mean, I can tell people, but if you said that, it would have a little bit more weight. You know, you're kind of successful.
All right, so what are we talking about? Well, let's get into it. I got to sell some freaking books here.
All right.
What do you want to sell? You want to sell Clinton?
Let me tell you what I just started because I got it last night.
I want to do the noise.
I just got the noise.
Those people are right on the ball. Excellent. They give you the book after the interview. That's cool. Okay.
It's not your fault, Rob, right? It's not your fault that I got the noise last night.
No,
right?
They sent out the book as soon as they could. They put a tracker on it, and then they said, you know what? Let's send them a broken PDF, and they did that right away.
And I started to tear into it, but it was, you know, I mean, I got
All
things
right,
to
okay,
do.
Okay.
And
no, look,
and
this is one of my jokes. You go out and you're out in Idaho or something. And you're on TV, and they don't read the book, which I don't blame them. I mean, that's a big ask. But it's always like, so James, tell us about the new book.
Okay. I'm not going to do that.
You didn't read?
No, it's not my fault, though. It's not my fault. And by the way,
I know that. I didn't even blame you. I blamed the publisher.
I'm 15 pages into the noise, and I don't even know if I'm right. Body of work. Let me ask you this question because I'm 15 pages. Have you ever written anything like that? It starts out, it is not a normal.
You mean that good? Probably not.
It's not a normal James Patterson style book, in my opinion.
Here's the thing, though. No, it isn't. It's like if I wrote a book with a very little unlikely Stephen King and
right.
Michael Crichton, it's like
see?
That. But see, I can put it on the cover. This is not about Alex Frost. Put on the cover. Nobody gets shot with a gun in here. But don't worry, thousands of people actually die. You know, but
it's horrible.
They'll sit there and they'll, you know, like, where's Alex?
It's horrifying because I don't know. I'm going to get back to it because I don't know. I literally
you're gonna get back to it because I don't know. Okay.
No, stop.
I got you.
I'm holding this one.
All right, okay. We'll go where we go.
Before we
really
even
good.
Knew.
Not as good as the noise, but excellent.
Okay, so the noise is, I get it. The noise.
No,
the noise is out there now.
But as they say, when I do something different, they're all like, oh, what the hell is this?
I have
and
to
I
jump
try to
in.
And I tell them, it's different. It's, you know, whatever. They don't
Oscar?
Listen.
Yes.
I
can vouch for this.
Yes. No, wait. I just want to say, Oscar and Rob, please, when I came in, before he was even on our radar for coming on the show, we had no idea.
Right.
I came in here unsolicited, and I said, I tore through this more than any James Patterson book I have ever read.
It was actually tiresome, the amount that he talked about.
It was not tiresome, was it?
No. Hell of a writer.
You know, I in the back of my mind, I want. Can I ask you? Look, the noise is on sale now.
Yes,
please go buy the noise.
And
can
it's
I
really
tell
you? Good.
It's really good.
You'll find a link in our show notes, Mike.
He doesn't need man. Doesn't need me.
What do you think I'm here? If I didn't need you, you'd think I'd be doing this?
I thought we were friends.
Come right. on.
This is.
You know, right. Yeah. It's not book business. It's, yeah. Go ahead.
Can I fanboy on this a little bit, please? Can
yeah,
I ask
sure.
you some questions about this? Because I got
Did
a ton
Clinton
of them.
Call you about this?
No, no. And I do a Clinton impression that I've done for years, you know?
Right, now don't do it. He's got sure enough problems, that Lewinsky okay. and whatever. Lewinsky revisited. Is that? I mean,
very, very timely. Very timely yeah, with that right. comment.
Bring right her back. Okay.
Yeah, it's exciting.
One more time.
Yes. You know, she's got a documentary coming out. Too,
yep, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, okay. I think it's time. Outer.
So self. That is relevant. That is relevant.
She's all over Twitter.
How did the collaboration? I mean, this is the second book you've written with President Clinton. How did that collaboration come about? That's a generic question you've been asked a million times.
Yeah, well, the first one, we have the same lawyer, agent, whatever, and he knew that President Clinton loves thrillers, and he reads everything, like, tons of nonfiction, tons of thrillers. He's a crazy person. And, you know, and they've been trying to get him to do a thriller forever, and he, you know. And they said, well, how'd you like to do one with James Patterson? He said, well, why would Patterson want to do one with me?
Okay.
And they called me up and I said, I'm in. You know,
yeah.
And the reason was that, one, okay, I told you I'm on the river here. Up the river is where I grew up, Newburgh, New York, okay? And I still look at the world through the lens of a kid from Newburgh, New York. Small town, river town. My father grew up in a Newburgh poorhouse. So from my lens, sitting there writing a book with the president or writing a book with Dolly Parton, this is like great. This is great. So, mm-hmm. so you know, I'm in. I mean, unless you know, you start talking to somebody and it, you know, there's no chemistry, but there was chemistry. And the thing about the books with President Clinton is the notion of the authenticity. And then we just hit it off. You know, was mm-hmm. We're friends. He gave what did he give me for Christmas? A Monopoly for Socialists.
Now, what did you give him for Christmas?
Oh, Mike is gone.
No, Mike's gone. He's just resetting.
I gave him a putter that said it was a silver, and it said on the side of it, automatic two-putt.
Oh, so easy. Guaranteed two-putt? Yeah.
Guaranteed two-putt. Yeah. It was, you know, which he liked. Yeah, you know, because then he needs it, I'll tell you. I'll tell you a story. You know, I'm doing an autobiography. It's just stories next mm-hmm. year. And one of them is the first time we went out and we went golfing. And his people said, he'll only play 9 holes. And I go, great, I don't care. I'll go in a putting green with him for 10 minutes. We're playing, and I don't know, fourth or fifth hole, it's a par 3. And he's got about an 8-foot putt for birdie.
Okay.
And he leaves it like 4 foot short. So I look at him, and I said, you pussy. And he said, did you just call me a pussy? And I said, yeah. He said, well, you're right, I am a pussy. And that's where, and I shouldn't do this on the show, but because we make it different in the book a little bit. It's funny. It's the funnier thing we did with it. But the thing of it is if we're together and we're out, it's Mr. President, you know, very respectful, as it should be. But if we're together, just, you know, two guys, he's from a small town, I'm from a small town, you know, and it's fun.
That's so great.
The I don't want to get totally sorry about that. And you were talking about golf. And you were talking about golf, and I, you know, I mean, I love the game more than anybody in the world. So okay. That's me. Stop it. Stop laughing at me. I'm doing my best.
I'm not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
Thank you.
I was
got
laughing
electrical
with,
storms.
With our guest, Mike.
Coming through here all the time.
Always with, because we have such
I've respect. Got, when it comes to, and people that, I told my listeners about this book about a month ago.
Which
and,
book?
About The Noise. I told them yesterday about The Noise.
Excellent.
The Noise, James Patterson. And who is your, who are you mentoring on this particular book that is joining?
The famous J.D. Barker.
J.D.
So,
Barker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. But the president, you know what, the president's daughter? That one. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing. And what makes it amazing is.
Tell them what happens in the middle. You can really spoil it for them.
Well,
I'm kidding.
I could if you wanted to. Here's the thing. I have always geeked out over documentaries about Air Force One, over the Secret Service, over Special Forces. It's mm-hmm. all in here. And what I found the most fascinating element of this, though, was the interpersonal relationships that the president has. And I was just mm-hmm. curious because in the back of my mind, the whole time I'm reading the book, I said, well, this is where I would have assumed the insights from President Clinton came into play.
A lot of that.
Right?
You know, the first book, it was the president in office. The second book, the president's daughter, it's a president, you know, after office, which of course President Clinton has experienced. So he had a lot of insights in terms of, you know, what it's like, what's good about it, what's not so good about it. And in this case, he really needs a lot of help to try to find his daughter, but he's not president anymore. So, and he knows where he can call in favorites and he knows where he can't.
It's so much fun, and I just I tore through it. And as far as
the noise, this kind of stuff, read Welcome My Combat Boots. If you really want the documentary, the real deal, that thing will blow your mind.
And it's so timely. It's so timely right now with everything going on.
It's been out for a while, but yeah, and it more than ever, yeah. But it's just story after story. I think there's 51, whatever the hell, some, and each one is about 6 or 7 pages. And you just get like a wonderful, like one woman, she's from Buffalo. And after 9/11, she went to the Marines and she said, I don't want to go, but put me in combat. And they say, we can't put you in combat at that point. All right, so what's the worst, the most dangerous thing? And she said, well, doorway gunner on a helicopter. So she had to go like through 4 different schools, and because she was a woman, she had to be first in every school. And it's a great, and it's like 5-6 pages.
Wow.
There's a dentist who goes in, and he's in the reserves, and it's after they caught
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and he had toothache, so they brought him in to be the dentist for, you know, yeah. So he's got all these stories, and you know, he said, I just made up the weapons of mass destruction, and you guys bought it, you know. Whatever. Funny guy.
when you were so, are you fascinated with the inner workings of like the Secret Service and Special Forces and that kind of? Because there was like an enthusiasm in the book about all that.
I like the humanity of it. The president loves the Secret Service guys, and I like them too. It's really interesting though. Like, I had to get used to it. You come into his house or, you know, anywhere where he is, and they're like statues. Okay, they won't say a word to you, but then you go, hey George, how the hell are you? How's the family? And then they won't shut up. Once you have to initiate it, or there's nothing. Well, now that's okay. That's good.
It's great, and the noise, as I said before, is exactly. 15 pages. 15 pages. It was not my fault. But I'm going to finish the noise.
That's all, Rob, the publisher sent you was 15 pages.
15 pages
of
the noise.
Here's what I think is cool about the noise. I'll do this very quickly. If you can put a suspense hook into the readers where, like, I got to know how the hell is this happening? And in this case, it's this noise that's destroying everything as it blasts through the Northwest. And there are surprises along the way as opposed to a one-night thing, or, you know, one-note thing. And then the ending is really cool. You go like, wow. I mean, a lot of times they'll set the hook and that's it. And they just set the hook, and there's a hook, and there's a hook, and there's a hook. And then the end, it's aliens. What?
Well, the thing that. You know, it's interesting you say that, because reading a book starting The Noise, you have absolutely no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
You're lost. You're completely and utterly lost. And that is, that's the hook, isn't it? Well, you know better than anybody about how you do that.
Okay, how could this possibly happen? This can't be happening. And the characters are going, this can't be happening, but it's happening. So how
is
do
there
we do
a,
it?
Is
and
there
I,
a template?
And I don't do the cop-out. It's not aliens.
Spoiler alert.
And it's not God.
It's not God, and I have no idea. And this is, I'm not kidding you, only 15 pages. When you talk about grabbing a reader, do you have, I remember the last time we spoke with
you. I would reach out and grab you, Mike. But I can't.
So how come your audio went out? And all I know is I was gone for a while.
Is he gone again? Yeah.
All I know is gone for a while, and I came back, and James Patterson was insulting somebody on a golf course, and I have no idea who the hell it was. I don't know what was going on. Do you talk about
I've
how
I played with three presidents now?
Which one?
I'm not going to get into it.
Come on, you all said it. Come on,
Clinton, Trump, and Bush Senior.
Who's the best golfer?
41.
Who's the absolute
Trump?
He is really the best golfer.
Yes, by far, by a lot.
And okay,
by mile. Who's the worst? I'm not going to get into who's the worst.
I wasn't going to ask you.
Who
that.
Goes around the golf course the fastest? Bush.
He was speedy. That was his thing. Speed golf. So senior, you play with? You didn't play with W.
No.
Okay.
I think the answer there would be not yet.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not yet.
Very, very exciting.
I like him. I like the
we're,
younger.
We're Bush. Close.
He's a pretty nice guy.
We're close.
I've met
the,
him a couple
with
times.
The Bush family. We produce the 41's Presidential Libraries podcast.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So good
yeah.
people. Good people.
They are good people.
I agree. And I'm not really. I kind of lean the other way, but I like them very much. And I got to spend time with Senior and wife, and they were very down it, because she did all the stuff to get people reading
right.
Mm-hmm. So I went to her thing a couple of times with Hobberston one time and Silva.
What a great family.
Yeah. No, and they're very funny. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I have to. I think it's either Golf Digest or Golf Magazine where they always ask your ideal celebrity foursome. So I'll ask you that since I know you love golf.
No, I don't have any. I got nothing. No, I don't. I don't like foursomes. You know who I play with all the time now is Mike Lupica. You know the sports writer.
Yeah, sure. The sports guy. Absolutely, yeah. Great writer.
We play all the time. And we're actually doing. We have a book coming out in January, The Horsewoman. It's about equestrian stuff, but it's a cool story. And then we have a one coming next year that's really, really, it's newspaper, football, things that he doesn't know anything about.
When is your book about podcasters going to come out?
About you?
I didn't say me.
Yeah.
I didn't say me.
Yeah, good idea. Let me. I'm going to chew on that one for a little bit.
I believe it's a thriller set in a basement, isn't it?
You never know. Look, I mean, if you do the right stuff, where are you? Are you in Florida now?
I'm on the other side from your side. I'm on the Fort Myers area. That's where
right,
I am.
Okay.
Naples,
well, if
Fort
you
Myers.
Do something, you know, terrible over there, well, you can get your book.
Well, if I go,
I've written about people from Florida. You know, Epstein. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? If I went over to a school board meeting down here, I might do something terrible.
It's pretty
crazy.
I tell you what, though. I watch this thing. They keep showing this scene of punches are flying. And I look at this thing. I go, there are no punches. It was a couple
people.
No,
there weren't.
People a little bit. You know, like, where are the punches? I mean, you know, punches are flying. Let's see the punches.
It was, let me tell you. I have an 8-year-old.
Yeah, okay.
I'm an elderly father with an 8-year-old in school. I believe the science. I want him to wear a mask. I had no idea, that there was a large contingent of people that didn't want people to wear masks and that they were bat-ass crazy and that they all showed up at the school board meeting and it was terrifying. It was absolutely. But you're right. There weren't really punches thrown. They're a little
not
pushing.
Not in the clip that they keep showing.
Now, that's the one that they
I'm
show
sure,
all
no,
the time.
Obviously, there have punches have been thrown in supermarkets and whatever.
Yeah, it's people get nuts and we're divided, and that's the way it goes.
At any rate, we're getting lost here.
I know, and I don't want to, you know, but I do want to ask you, with the virus and everything that we've been talking about, everything we've been living the last 2 years, is there anything on your radar in that vein? I mean, you're moving into different areas with the noise.
I get my shots. I just got my third shot.
That's it. I was talking about a book, James.
That's
I was talking
I about a book.
A book about, you know, viruses.
The shots are important. I have no interest in writing about that. I tell you what, though. Yeah, in this sense, I mentioned the combat boots. In October, I have a nonfiction, similar kind of style, where this friend of mine, Matt Eversman, he was the actual sergeant who was portrayed in Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
Wow.
He's a buddy of mine from Florida. And he's great at talking to people. And most soldiers won't talk about what they did over there other than to other soldiers because they just think people won't understand. And they don't for the most part. Nurses are the same way, especially emergency room nurses. And this book is called ER Nurses. And once again, it's just stunning about, you know, the stories. And we try not to go too heavy on COVID, but there are some, you know, and I remember one of the nurses talks about how everything, all the human stuff had to go away. They just didn't have time. But at one point, she just found herself, she took off her gloves and she just held this woman's hand as she was dying. And she said, I just had to do the human thing and take off the gloves because I felt this woman needed to touch a human being and, you know, whatever. So it's once again, it's just a stunning book. And that's coming in October. what is wrong with me? Why do I keep putting these books out? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, during these times, I mean, I know it's an old cliche, but curling up with a book.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, listen, I went to American University. I read slowly.
You already said that.
I read slowly.
American University. That's a good school.
It was all
in
right.
Washington,
I know.
Yeah.
I got through.
It's a weird name for a school, but you know, it's like Manhattan of the Bronx, but whatever.
Manhattan of the Bronx, the same
thing. I'm surprised
thing.
It's not like in Yugoslavia or something. American University in Yugoslavia.
that's what it should be. You know, really, it's so nice to have you on the show. We didn't get a chance to really geek out about your golf game because in your bio, the information they send along, it always has golf at the very end. It always says, and loves golf. Do you love golf? Are you passionate about
it?
Do you?
But I play a lot.
you hate your game.
Yes. No. I'm okay. You know, I was 9, 10, whatever. I'm probably 14, 15. The one freaky thing out of nowhere, I have 8 holes in one.
Oh, wow.
Do you really?
Wow.
I do. Wow. Well, here's my golf story. And I can tell this because my wife isn't around. Big jock, big all-American, very competitive. A few years back, she had had 4 holes in one. I had 3. Jeez. On January the 7th of 6th of that year, I had another hole in one. And she said, well, I don't like it, but I can live with it. The eighth, I'm out with her. It's par 3, obviously. And I have another hole in one. Does she give me a big hug? No. Does she say, nice shot, honey? No. She looks at me and very appropriately says, you've got to be shitting me. You can see why I'm with her. She's great.
That's what keeps the relationship together.
And if there's anything funny in the book, she wrote it. So.
You know what? It's such a pleasure. Please, anytime you'd love to come on the show, or even really hate to come on the show, we'll take you. We'd love you to, you know, come by.
Phone calls,
Oh, you're wonderful. It's really...
Now, where are you guys? You guys are in...
We're in downtown D.C.
Yeah, we're in D.C.
Oh, you're all in D.C.?
Yes.
Yeah, but no, Mike is in Florida.
I'm in Florida.
Mike's in Florida. Oh, okay. All right, okay.
And you're in New York?
For the moment, yeah. Yeah.
And you're from Newburgh, and I went to school also at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York. Which,
really? Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know the area.
A couple of my best friends that barely could get through high school went to Marist. I'm confused now. What is the Marist and the American? What happened?
I transferred Marist College to American University.
Okay.
I had to get out of there because I think your point's well taken. Anywho,
Poughkeepsie's an interesting town.
I love that. I used to go to a place called the Last Chance Saloon.
Made it into the French Connection, right?
Yeah, it
did.
That's
true. Yeah.
Picking your feet.
Right, I'll give you the Poughkeepsie story. This is in the bio. My father grew up in a Newburgh poorhouse, whatever. And he was going off to war, and he got a phone call. And this guy said, my name is George Hazleton. I live in Port Jervis. And just bear with me, he said. Tonight, after dinner, my parents took me downstairs to the living room, and they said, George, you know, we love you so much, and you're going off to this terrible war, and we have to tell you, we're not your natural parents, and you're adopted. And then over the phone, this guy, George Hazleton, said to my father, I'm your brother. So that's how my father, they go off to war, and they both come back, and they become great friends. And a few years later, my uncle calls up, and he says, I found our father. And he's tending bar in Poughkeepsie. And neither one of them had ever seen him, at least not that they knew of. Maybe they had when they were infants or whatever, because he ran off. He was a drunk and a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of Irish. No, whatever. He, just
you.
Kidding. Just kidding. I love the Irish.
Thank
I'm
thank
like
you very much.
40% Irish. So at any rate, so he calls up my father and he says, you know, come on up to Poughkeepsie to this bar. And my father says, I don't want to see the bastard. You go. So my uncle went up and he gets to, and it's a bar under the bridge in the river there. And it's a really crummy bar. And there's a couple of, you know, kind of the kind of guys you'd see in that bar, but bellied up to the bar. And then his father standing behind the bar. My uncle doesn't drink. He orders a Coke. He sits in there for 15 or 20 minutes. He's so turned off by this guy behind the bar, his father, he never introduces himself and just leaves.
Wow. And
so
that was it.
My, There's my Poughkeepsie story.
Wow, that is a very, very sad, sad story. You know,
yeah, it's well, with distance, it's kind of a cool story.
with a little bit of great distance.
No, when you read the noise, I'll come back on.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd love that.
No.
He's so mean. Anyway, James Patterson, thank you.
If I lie, at least I correct it.
It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show with Mrs. Spiewak's little boy, Robbie. Please don't call me Robbie. Rob Spiewak here. This is one of the more surreal segments that we've ever done, and it's a recurring segment. And if we had to explain it to someone who didn't understand the construction of the Mike O'Mara Show, they'd say, you're crazy. But what it is Mike's impression of Larry King. This is obviously when Larry was alive. Mike pretends to be Larry King and calls Oscar's mom. So it's Larry King and Yoli Zabaios. Just enjoy this. This is so choice. Wonderful stuff on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I believe that Oscar had mentioned to me yesterday that Mrs. Santana is in need of
Mama.
A phone call.
Yes. Look, my mom is going through a transition in her life. I think that if we're all lucky, all of our parents will go through when they can retire, right?
Okay.
Right. Now, they may burden you, like my mom has myself, my sister, my brother, and my father, with that retirement financially.
Yeah, you got that big family, so
yeah,
you can
yeah, exactly. Not that we want to, but we have to. And it's been a little tough because she's been calling a lot. Like, I'm talking 3-4 times a day about.
So she is getting ready to leave the workforce.
She already has. And now
she's left the workforce. What is the dilemma? What is she having?
Is she looking for you to entertain her?
Her new job is calling her kids, Mike. And when she called us once a week, it was cool. But now it's out of control.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And yesterday I snapped at her because she had a gentleman taking down the Christmas lights from the house, and then she asked them to build a birdhouse in the back as well. And I said, Mom, you can't just tell people to do other jobs that they're not there to do, right?
Did she think they were like just general handymen?
Yes, the guy wrote me and said, hey, I think your mom thinks just a random contractor that showed up, but I do this every year to come down the lights, but she asked us to put up the...
the guy was not happy.
He was cool. He's like, he goes, did you ask us to build a birdhouse? Because I don't remember having that conversation.
Wow. oh, dear.
My mom's a wonderful woman, and I'll give a kidney, any type of organ that I can live with without keeping me without dying.
She can cook anything.
But she's made kidneys. Genius. She's made them before.
Sure.
But I think she needs a pep talk and a greeting from Larry King, if that's possible.
All right, very good. I will follow your lead.
Yes.
I will follow along.
Now, real quick, though, as sort of bedrock before we make the call here, you have called her as Larry King before, and I believe it was around the holidays. And at the Christmas dinner, she was telling everyone in the family that she spoke to Larry King because she's a big fan. Has the truth ever come out that it wasn't Larry?
No.
And she's still existing in a world...
Rob, let me just ask, is there a message you want Larry to give her?
I want you to congratulate. I want Larry to congratulate her on her retirement and congratulate her on her computer classes and congratulate her on having a great son that's making it in broadcasting and congratulate her on my MBA and congratulate her on my pending nuptials and congratulate her on.
All positive? I can do all positive.
About me, please.
All right, and anything bad you'd like him to say about your siblings?
No. That's too inside. He wouldn't know that. Okay. But I'm gonna call my. I'm gonna pre-call my mom.
All right.
As any producer would do on the air.
Right.
And I'm gonna make sure that she's available to call her right back because I don't want
call her on our main line.
I don't want my dad to mess this up.
Oh, is he in the country?
My dad's a big Larry fan too, and he might want to get on the horn.
Oh no!
And he knows
he
Larry.
Might be savvy. I get the impression Dad might.
Well, yeah, of course, he's a sharp guy.
Hi, Dad. Está la mamá por ahí porque tengo que darle un cachito.
That's going great. It would be like if you had a special accent.
El estudio en dos segundos. So I'm gonna hang up and call you back. The studio, yeah.
He mixes it up.
Gotcha.
The old half and half.
All right, ready? Now we're going to call her.
Inglés, half Español.
Let's do this.
Let me get my proper Larry. Let me slump my shoulders a little bit.
Look at what he does with his mouth.
Hello.
Whoa. Hello, Mom?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. What, you guys getting
machine?
A fax? What is it, 1983?
Hey, hey. Yes,
you are. Yes. Okay. Hey, mommy. Hoy día el señor King pasó por el estudio.
Yes.
Y aquí está en teléfono. Y sabes cómo la última vez we got a chance to call you?
Yeah.
Okay. Aquí está. Mr. King, if you don't mind, my mom is now on the phone. Señora Ceballos or Mrs. Ceballos.
Hello, Mrs. Ceballos.
Good morning. Good morning. Surprise. Happy New Year.
Hi, it's Lei King. How are you, ma'am?
Yes, Mr. Larry. I know. Very it's good.
I'm being interviewed, and every time I go on the show with your son, Oscar, he likes me to mention you or talk to you. So he's a wonderful son. I was congratulating him on his Master's of Business Administration. You must be very thrilled and very proud of that particular accomplishment. Right, Mrs. Ceballos?
Yes, I am very proud of him. Really, I cannot, like you say, I am very proud. All my family, my husband and my kid, you know, we are happy for him. The
good
future is better for him. You know?
Good for you. How have you been? How's your health? I understand you retired recently, Mrs. Ceballos.
Yes, I am retired. I'm so happy, but in one way, I don't know what to do, you know. And now I'm learning computer. I'm going back to the school, you know. And
you
then that is much better for me. I want to be communicated with my grandchildren. Even my children, you know?
Communication is the key, Mrs. Ceballos. If you can master the computer arts, you can communicate with all of your children and your grandchildren, and you must be thrilled to death that your boy, Oscar, is going to get married to that lovely, wonderful girl, Shannon. She's an amazingly accomplished woman, isn't she?
Yes, I am very happy he found the right person for the rest of his life, because in my family, we don't have a divorce. You marry one time, that's it.
Are you looking forward to Oscar giving you plenty of grandchildren?
Maybe two.
That's wonderful. Mr. King, I don't mean to bring up a sore subject with my mom on the line, but you've been divorced before, right?
Many times, yes. Seven or eight times.
Really?
Yes, I'm currently in a marriage which I'm holding together with baling wire.
Mom, will you pray for Mr. King on Rosario?
Yes, pray for me. May I use your first name, Mrs. Ceballos?
Yeah, you can use Jolie. It's okay.
Is it Jolie?
Jolie.
Jolie, you can call me Larry. Call me Larry, all right, Jolie?
Okay.
Have you been a fan of mine for a long time, Mrs. Ceballos?
I've been fan for a long time. I was looking when you retired. I was looking all over until I found you.
Yeah, and you buy his fish oils. His fish oils.
Yes,
all right.
I'll take it. I have the medicine for a long time.
Oh, that's good for your heart. You know, heart health, Mrs. Ceballos. Excuse me, Jolie. Sure. Heart health is extremely important.
It's Yoli with a Y, Larry.
Yoli. I'm sorry, Jolie. Yoli, heart health is very important. Did you have a good breakfast this morning?
Yes, I have it. I have an egg. I have a little pupusa. Pupusa.
Is a pupusa?
Some foods with cheese, you know?
Oh, that sounds absolutely delicious. I enjoy. Yes. You're from Bolivia?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Sorry. That's delightful.
But you're a citizen, right, Mom?
Yes, an American citizen for 1985.
That's wonderful, Yoli. I'm so happy for you. And of all your children, and I know you have many, is Oscar the boy you're most proud of?
No, it's not. I'm proud of the three, because my daughter, Jose, and Oscar. We are the three, my children and my husband, we are proud of Oscar more than anybody else.
So you have three children?
Yes, I have three children.
Who are the three kids and what do they do?
Two are physicians. One is in Harvard. Went to Georgetown. It's my daughter. And then I had three grandchildren.
How many schools did Oscar go to?
How many schools Oscar went to? Went to two schools. Three schools.
That's wonderful. That's a, what are you going to be enjoying for lunch today, Yoli?
I'm going to cook for my husband, especially because I'm trying to be in good fit. My husband is going to get fat, not me.
Can I say something to you, Yoli? Oscar said to me not 10 minutes ago that he loves his mother so much that if you ever needed a body part, like a kidney, that he would give his kidney to you. He loves his mama that much. I think that's wonderful. Don't you, Yoli?
Yes, I am. I'm so happy with them. Really, Oscar is a special baby because he's the little one.
Yes, the little one. Little bitty Oscar. Yeah. And he got did he get into trouble as a boy?
A lot.
A lot. That's wonderful. So did I. So did I. What are your plans for the weekend, Yoli?
I'm going to be home. Maybe I have to go to church. Mm. And then I'm going to be at home. Maybe I'm going to cook. To cook at home because it's better for me to be cooking at home. That way I know what I eat.
Are you making fricassee?
Fricassee? No, I normally do that in New Year.
Ah, the holidays. That's right. Oscar told me all about that. It's so wonderful. I really do hope that we get the opportunity to meet in person sometime.
Sure, you will. You will anytime when you come here, maybe.
How about I send you a pair of my famous suspenders? Would you like that?
Yes.
I'll send those to you. That would send you some fish and I'll send you some fish oil.
Yes.
And I'll send you some foot pads that help with corns.
Yeah. Okay, look at you.
That's a big giveaway here on the Michael Myers Show.
Oscar told me what a great fan you are. Do you have any questions for me, Yoli?
No, the only question I have is how are you doing with your health?
I could do better. You know, I smoked a lot of cigarettes back in the day, and it's kind of catching up with me now, you know?
Yeah, you better how long time you did. You stopped. Yeah,
that's right. That's right, Yoli. Well, I guess we've reached the end of this conversation, but I really want to say I'm so
very
proud.
Very happy to hear you. Thank you so much for like my son. Thank you for the support for him. Thank you so much.
How is Mr. Zabalios doing?
He's doing very well. He's soon going home.
Yes. That's right. Back to Bolivia, which is home. We all know that. Thank you. Thank you very much, Yoli. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And please, I will say a prayer. Even though I'm a Jew, I will say a prayer for you.
Me too. I will pray the rosary for you.
Adios, Yoli.
Adios, Larry.
Ciao, Mom.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Call you later. Love you. You guys are animals.
That is. She, I mean, there's you all in.
Made her so happy.
You made her year. She's running around telling my dad how she just talked to Larry.
God, I think you were about to book her on your new show.
BOTMOS, BOTMOS makes the very best podcast. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show for Martin Luther King Day. Mike is forever trying different diets, and he's in the middle of a real successful one right now, thanks to DermGlow. But here, he had just started keto. And I think a lot of times keto affects people in the other direction, but Mike was experiencing, how shall we say, a kind of urgency? I will just say this. What can Brown do for you on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show?
All right, so a couple of things I wanted to get to here just briefly, that a buddy of mine told me that when you go on keto, he actually went off the keto diet because it creates a bit of urgency at the wrong time.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell him that, I think that there is an adjustment period digestively that one has to go to. And the reason I mention this, and I am now in a zone where my digestive functions kick in only at the worst possible time. Only when,
exclusively.
When it's the worst.
Yeah.
Exclusively. The brown zone. At the brown zone comes at the wrong time. What is the wrong time? Well, maybe it would be clearer for you if I gave you the right time.
Yeah. Okay. What would be in the perfect world? What would Brown do for you?
Brown at the in the perfect world will
shock
be it would
jock.
Be early AM.
Sure.
Early yeah.
Like maybe first thing out of bed.
Like that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a complete total
even
evacuation,
though in the holidays, there's a lot of packages then.
Well, you know what? It just if it was evacuating first thing in the morning with that sound. If that sound went off, it's like clear the decks. Clear that. You know when it's not? When it's not is when we've gathered up the youngster. We've popped him into the vehicle, and we've gone out to the big box store.
Yep.
I am not an aficionado of using a public facility. You know what a public facility represents to me to a certain extent? Lack of control. That if you had the control, you would have planned it, and you would have gone it. Now, if you want to drop a winky tink, that you know, you've been drinking water all day, that's a whole different thing.
But
I was in Giant. It was a nightmare. Still haunts me.
I'm a big fan of Costco, as you know, but I'm not a fan of their bathroom facilities.
No. Well, any
bet
store,
they go bulk.
Yeah. Any store. You know, I was in, this occurred to me when Mrs. O'Mara on Saturday or Sunday, don't know which day it was, wanted to do a little Christmas shopping at our high-end department store, Marshall's. And she wanted to go out to Marshall's, and we're in Marshall's, and I said, we're driving. It's about 20 minutes to this shopping center, and we are about 15 minutes in, and I said to Carla, I said to her, this is a true story.
Yes.
You need to turn the car around now.
Abandon ship.
And then it's just like
OAR said, turn the car
then
around.
My colon would best be described as going.
And then
it receded. And then it receded. And by the time we got to Marshall's parking lot, it was back going, as we walk into the Marshalls, and I say, I have to use the facilities. Does it matter?
I don't know
if I care
about Marshalls or TJ Maxx.
And I go and I walk to one side where the dressing rooms were, which is normally where you would put the restrooms. And that's when the lady says, no, the restrooms are over there. She points to the entire other end of the box where they have their picked over shoes.
Quick question. Did she give you a number? Usually got to get a number.
Yeah, no, not to go. That's for the dressing room. And, these were the restrooms.
And thank God, Mike, you didn't do what most Marshall patrons do is just use the dressing room.
Give me eight. I'm going to leave eight.
So many
pins on the floor.
I book it across the floor at Marshall's. And as I book across, I get there. I walk in. You know, it's got that warehousey kind of like dirty door area for the women.
Beat up.
I go in and two staller. First stall says, out of order.
Oh, no.
Second stall, handicapped. I look underneath. They're the dancing old man feet where some 85-year-old is there. And then I sit there and say, all right, control, self-control, just wait.
Right.
It looked to me that the feet were moving because business may have been completed.
Oh, but not in a sexual manner like we've seen in airports.
No,
knees weren't locked like in Dumb and Dumber.
No. And then I hear this. I hear this. It's like you hear the water run. Shh.
Yeah.
And then you hear.
Oh.
Here.
Tearing of paper.
Tearing off paper towels.
What?
Not one. Not two. Not three. Five paper towels. I said, what in the what kind is Jack Nicholson from As Good as It Gets in the other stall?
Right.
There? What is going on? Why? And then I found out why. Because then I'm so phobic of other people that I'm not going to stand there and be staring at him. I walk over to the urinal and pretend like I'm peeing. All I'm really doing is waiting
to
use that stall.
That's like when you're at a casino and you're shadowing somebody. Waiting for it to jump on the machine, right?
Yeah,
I don't want them to know that I need to go on that machine.
So you're pretending to pee in the casino?
No, but you lurk like you're playing at a machine, waiting for them to go.
I understand.
And he leaves, and I walk in, and it's one of those.
Was he older? Was he shuffling?
Didn't see because I had my back to him completely.
Okay, all right.
And when I walk in, it's one of those handicap stalls that has its own sink. You know the type of
the
super big one, right?
Luxury
and pristine. I guess the five paper towels may have been him doing whatever he had to, but the place was sparkling.
Stuffing.
And I relaxed, and then after I concluded, I just bounced out of the men's room.
Lighter than air?
I walked in, I said, hello, Carla! What are we doing today? What are we? La, 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 la.
I have my answer.
I'm walking on air. What a wonderful time. Little Michael, would you like to race Daddy down the aisle? But, you know, the warning is there for this new little program.
How long is this recalibration period?
Don't know.
Oh.
Got no idea.
And also, was there ever a period where there was no urgency whatsoever? Because when you go on a protein-rich diet, sometimes it puts the brake on the system.
Yeah, I'm going in between now. It's just not, I can't set my clock to anything right now. And I'm using a little enhancement, too. I use a little of the old powder at night, to get the plumbing going a little bit.
Orange flavored?
Okay. Nope, not at all.
All right.
Clear, yeah.
How does the Diet Coke fit into keto?
No carbs in Diet Coke.
Oh,
so.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Right
now. It's just the chemicals.
It's chemicals,
that's all
but
it is.
But I'll be honest with you, I could be feeling a little urgency right now.
The best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Remember, we are back live in studio tomorrow, and we look forward to talking to you then. Now, Nostalgia Corner is a segment that I do occasionally on the show where we look back on something in the past. Could be a movie, could be a song. In this case, it's a television show. And this is a show that I love. As a matter of fact, when I was down for the count, thanks to my weak liver, I watched the entire series. And it was a lovely time because it caused my wife to come home one day. And before she even asked how I was doing, remember, I had cheated death. Before she even asked how I was doing, she looked at me and she says, "I hate Columbo." Well, I do not hate Columbo. And hopefully you won't hate Columbo after you get the backstory of one of the greatest detective dramas of all time. Also, a little fun with the name Peter Falk. We determine about whether or not the man wears a glass eye, and also a great look back on a wonderful television show. We will see you tomorrow right here as we do a brand new show for you. But until then, have a great day and enjoy the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
We are going to replace the homepage today with Rob's Nostalgia Corner because Rob's had this one in the oven for quite some time. So take it away, Rob Spiewak.
I was going over the things that we have spotlighted on Nostalgia Corner, and we've done music, and we've done a lot of movies, but you know what we've really not dived in a lot is TV. And there are certain TV series that I really like, and so I would like to, if I may, just one more thing. Talk about Columbo today.
Just don't let me turn around right now. Oscar, are you even aware of Columbo?
The only reason I know about Columbo is because of Captain Steve.
No, but he watched Cannon.
Oh, sorry, different guy. Different I don't know Columbo.
No.
All right. You never watched him. Are you even aware of Peter Falk, the actor?
No.
He would know him as the grandfather in The Princess Bride, the one that tells the story.
Yes.
That's it.
Did he have a TV show?
Oh, my God. One of the greatest.
Legendary actor, a quirky actor, an American original, somebody that we'd never seen on screen before, and really probably one of the most successful detective shows ever.
A Matlock show?
It was different than that. Well, you know what? It actually set itself apart early on, and I'll get into that. Here's something that's great about it. It was a drama that ran from 1971 to 2003. That's 30... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the announcer at the end
drama.
Of that. That's a drama.
What years?
It ran for 32 years, holy from 71 ass. To 2003, but only 68 episodes. And I'll explain why in a little bit. Right. The character of Columbo was created by the writing team of Richard Levison and William Link. You see them on a lot of shows throughout the history of television. And they said they actually based the character on Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment character, Petrovich. So Columbo is actually based in classic French literature, which is kind of crazy. Okay. And it started as a night. This is a weird sort of backstory.
Just watch it. I can't. When you do a Nostalgia Corner, I watch Oscar like a hawk because I just measure the engagement.
This.
All right.
Shoot 'em ups.
It has a great backstory. It started as a 1960 TV drama that was adapted to a stage play. So it started on TV, then went to stage.
Was it called Columbo?
No, it was, I don't have the name of it here, but it was Columbo in this stage play was played by Thomas Mitchell, who was Scarlett O'Hara's father in Gone with the Wind.
Doesn't the name Columbo sound a little dorky?
In what way?
It just doesn't sound like an action guy.
Well, I think that's sort of by design.
Okay.
Because if you when you get into his character, he was on the Thomas Mitchell was opposite Joseph Cotten and Agnes Moorehead, who played Endora on Bewitched.
This is a nostalgia Ooh. Corner.
And so, after it was on stage in 1962, it was adapted back to TV by the same guys a few years later. And guess who they went out and really wanted to play Columbo?
By that time, did they have the name Columbo?
Yeah, the name Columbo was nailed down. He was Columbo in the stage play, but the play was not called
Telly
Columbo.
Telly Savalas.
No, not that.
Okay, hold on. So they're going out to get an A-list guy.
Yeah, and
Magna P.I.
I want you to keep this in mind. The character of Columbo evolved after Falk took it.
Burt Reynolds.
So don't think
Okay, well, then describe to me. Well, are you able to describe what kind of character it was before Peter Falk made the character his own?
Yeah, it was more of a smooth talker, slick detective. Go ahead.
Jack Cassidy.
No, but don't read ahead. They wanted and threw a lot of money at Bing Crosby to play Columbo.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
Right? It would be awful. But
oh, my God.
The guy with the ice cream?
Boom. Yeah. Just one other thing. Hey. Yeah, Bing Crosby. Straight down the middle. Hey, blah, blah, blah. You're guilty.
I think come over here, Johnny. Let me beat you.
Well, yeah. I think you'll appreciate
Gary.
Oh, Gary.
Johnny Crosby.
Right. Johnny Crosby.
I think you'll appreciate the fact that Bing Crosby gave when he declined the part. He said, a weekly series would get in the way of my golf game.
There you go. Attaboy.
So he took it out.
There you go.
So
I
the
like
producers,
that.
on a lark, they went after Peter Falk. He took it. They did one made-for-TV movie, and it was a smash. So right away, NBC wanted a weekly series, and Falk said no because he was still making movies. He says, I can't commit to that. I can't do it every week because I've got other stuff going on.
What are you texting, Oscar?
I'm looking at Columbo. I want to see what he looks like.
Oh, you want to see Peter Falk in Columbo? Yeah, well, he was goofy. He was a goofy, quirky guy.
So, Mike, they invented something. They invented something called a wheel show. Or a wheel series. And do you remember that every Wednesday night on NBC?
Let me see if I got it right. You had McCloud.
Right, exactly.
You had Columbo.
Yeah, and then there was one more in the original wheel. They would rotate them.
Wait a minute. Wait, was it Barnaby Jones?
No, McMillan and Wife.
Ugh, yeah.
I know. Hated not that. Great. Not great.
Ugh,
doesn't he look
that.
Like... this is what Dan O'Brien's going to be in roughly, let's say...
No way.
2 years.
No way.
2 years, right?
No.
Was he
no,
a drunk?
Dan O'Brien will be a lot of things. I don't think he's going to be rumpled.
No, I don't think you're right.
Was he a drunk?
No.
No.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, but what he was, you know what he was?
What?
They didn't see him coming, Oscar.
That's it.
They didn't see him coming. That's the whole thing. They did not see. You never knew that Columbo was figuring stuff out, but he was
like
a brilliant detective.
It was That's called right. the NBC mystery movie. It was called a wheel series. They did a similar thing later on with Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, where they would alternate, and because of that, what a show would take 1 week to film, Columbo would have 4 weeks to film. And TV historians agree, because they had that extra time, that added to the quality of the show and why it holds up so well.
I get that, because that was the anchor, too.
Was it Peter Falk?
Falk.
Yeah.
Falk.
Sorry.
Falk me?
Falk you.
Falk me?
Peter Falk.
A handsome man when he's not rumpled.
Well, also, he had what he had was screen presence. He really had a way about him,
like,
right?
Not like anyone else. It was immediate hit. Mm. He won an Emmy for his role in the first season, and his style was extraordinarily different. He was not slick or handsome.
He dressed like a flasher.
He was bumbling, clumsy, and
trench coat.
Yeah.
Now he was the detective with the trench coat.
I'm glad you brought up his wardrobe. His wardrobe consisted of Peter Falk's own clothes.
That doesn't surprise me.
Including the shabby suit. Falk bought the raincoat, which appeared in the first episode, for $15 in 1967 when he got caught in a New York City rainstorm, and he added the cigar as a personal touch. So the character is very much Peter Falk's invention.
Oh, I almost freaked out.
Well, hey, I have a question. Yeah. About Rob, I don't know whether you know the answer. What's the matter, Oscar? What happened?
Ruffalo was in talks to make a Columbo movie.
Mark Ruffalo would be perfect.
I agree.
Man.
I agree.
Mark Ruffalo would be perfect for that. And I would, you know what? that I wouldn't mind being updated, although it does fall into the category of Hollywood make an original movie.
Yeah.
Especially when you have guys like our previous guest churning out original content. Yeah. You know, really, when you think about it, and of course, many of James Patterson's, I think he's
become
won
films.
Six.
Yeah, of course.
I think he's won six Emmys. I think James Patterson has won six Emmys. But that's what I like. I like when they do this one. I that's what I was thinking halfway through this book was this will be a great movie, or it could be a TV movie. It doesn't matter. But I will tell you something about Peter Falk, and I was going to ask you this. The eye. Was he really blind in one eye?
He has a glass eye, I believe, yeah.
He has a glass eye,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so he has a glass eye.
Yeah.
In real life, Oscar. So that's why it's like, I have just one
question. No wonder he's rumpled.
Now, you don't know for sure, though?
I don't.
Would you stake your reputation on it?
I always operated on the assumption that he was. Now, okay. I'm glad you brought up the fact that he was sort of bumbling and they didn't see him coming, because this is another thing that Falk created. He ad-libbed all of Columbo's idiosyncrasies to keep the actors that he was acting with off guard, to make them look more bothered or more sort of off balance when they're doing their scenes. Because
What are the idiosyncrasies?
He would fumble for a pencil or find a piece of string in his pocket.
He was hammered.
Or something like that. An often one was, excuse me, do you have a match? I just need a match. And that wouldn't be in the script. He would just do that to throw people off.
I got it.
Okay.
William
Faulkner.
Yeah.
Just take the ner off, and it's Falk. Yeah. Peter Falk. Yeah.
Falk! I hear the cannons roar.
Does he have a glass eye?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. Which is why you never see him at a 3D movie. And also, Columbo had one of the greatest catchphrases in TV history.
You can't end your affairs. Any further way that I can be of assistance to you?
Oh, no, you just make out that list. That'll be fine, Doc.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, one more thing before I forget. Well, I guess that clears that up then. Okay, Doc. Thank you very much, and I'm sorry I bothered you.
No bother at all.
Well, listen, there's one more thing. You don't remember what your wife was wearing that night, do you? Thank you again.
Oh. What, something else?
What's the matter with me? One other thing, the angle of the bullet. Just one more thing.
No, Lieutenant, there is no just one more thing. Goodbye.
And according to the guy that created the character, Levinson, the catchphrase one more thing was conceived when they were writing the play and they had a scene that was too short, but they already had Columbo make his exit. They were too lazy to retype it. So they just added him coming back in and saying one more thing.
And it was the clap. That was the cliffhanger.
Great. That's so
every
great.
Single time. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Now,
all right.
The other innovation, and Oscar, this is the thing that is the most fascinating part of Columbo, and I didn't realize it.
Thought you were finished.
Growing
kinda
up.
Kind of clue me in when you're done, will you, please?
Sure.
Because I don't know when
you just pulled a Columbo.
You're not really
on us.
Good at like billboarding. You really kind of, I thought that was it.
No, we're gonna close, Mike, with the Emmy information, and it's coming up very shortly.
The Emmy information, stand by.
But I want you to know that the show popularized an inverted detective story format, which is known in the business as a How Ketchum.
Oh.
How Ketchum means that the first scene actually shows the murder and how it was done, and then he has to solve it by the end of the episode.
Mm.
So as a viewer, you know who's guilty. As opposed to if you're watching a Rockford Files or a Murder, She Wrote or Matlock.
Yeah, because that's what made the one more thing, because you're rooting against the villain.
Right, exactly.
And Jack Cassidy did play the villain multiple times.
Mike, I'm so glad you brought it up. As a matter of fact, Jack Cassidy holds the record for being a murderer in season 1, 3, and 5. Now, Cassidy could have been a murderer a fourth time, but I quote from the website, tragically died in a house fire in 1976 after he dropped a lit cigarette on a Naga Hide couch.
Mm. Naga Hide went up like a brush.
Paint factory.
Yes. Yeah, that microphone doesn't work.
In all, the show won 13 Emmy Awards, 4 for Peter Falk as best actor in a drama, and his speeches were always great. Here he is in 1976.
You know, you have a television show, and there's hundreds of people involved. There's actors and producers and writers and the whole crew of cameramen and sound man, and now the show goes on the air and it's a hit, and the spotlight narrows down and it focuses on just one person, and everybody else is in the dark, and that person is the star. And the point that I was trying to make was that I think that's a very sensible system.
And,
So he was, he won four Emmys. The show is currently.
I don't want anybody to change it.
The show is currently available on DVD, Blu-ray, and on the streaming platform Peacock. Highly recommended.
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.